Welcome to Sandals Church. My name is Chris Reinhardt, and we are so excited to gather together with you today. Our vision at Sandals Church is to be real, real with ourselves, God, and others. And as we gather weekly, our hope is that you will learn more and more what that means for you during this time. If you're joining us for the first time, I just want to say welcome. We're so glad that you're here. We would love to meet you, and we can do that by you going to move.sc/new and tell us your name and where you're joining us from. And as you're in the chat room, we'd love you to drop us a comment and invite a friend to join you. As we gather here each week, we get to celebrate the things that God is doing around the world through Sandals Church. Last week in Riverside and San Bernardino, we had the opportunity to hand out 1,600 boxes of produce to families in need. I want to say thank you from us to you, because you are the ones that make that happen. These families were loved and they were cared for because you give. I want you to know it's not too late. You can give at give.sc. Right now, we're gonna be jumping in to our service with some singing. We're gonna sing some songs of worship to God. And wherever you're at, wherever you're gathering, we would invite you to join in and to sing out and to celebrate what God is doing all over the world.
Wherever you're at, we invite you to sing, clap your hands with us as we worship our great and mighty God together. Come on, let's sing this out.
Yeah.
Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on a Savior, see the image of love, sing His praises forever.
Tearing through the dead of night, see the kingdom burst into color at the speed of light. Oh, freedom shaking up the atmosphere as the shadows fade into nothing as the day appears.
Beyond the sky.
Beyond the skies above, you're reaching out for us, the everlasting world, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on the Savior, see the image of love, sing His praises forever.
Shine like the rising sun.
Now forever, lifted up from death to life.
There's no fear in love.
There's no fear in love, and no darkness in His endless light.
Oh,
beyond the skies above, love reaching out. Reaching out for us, the everlasting world,
For you. And we love to sing, we love to worship because of who you are and because of what you've done. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for meeting with us. In your name we pray, amen. We're so excited now to hear a message from our lead pastor, Matt Brown.
Hey guys, welcome to sandalschurch.tv. Super excited that you are joining us today. We're in this series called Elevate because I don't know about you, but I need to elevate my life. And today I want to talk to you about the most critical aspect of what needs to be elevated in your life. Because here's the reality. We can't control our circumstances. Many of us can't control our careers. Some of us have realized we can't control our finances. And so a lot of us are stressing out because we feel like everything's out of control. And so I want to talk to you today about the one thing you can control. And this literally, if you can master this one thing, it will elevate everything in your life. I want to talk to you about how to elevate my thinking. Now think about this. The Apostle Paul is in prison. He's incarcerated by himself. He's isolated. All of his rights have been taken away. And here's what he says in Philippians 4, 8, and 9. He says, finally, these are his last words. These are his last thoughts. He's wrapping up the letter. And he's saying, here's what I want you to know, brothers. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, he says, listen to this, whatever's pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything of excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, underline this, think about these things. Now I'm gonna just ask you, what have you been thinking about this week? Any of these things on your list? Most of us, we have a Bible verse that's exactly the opposite of this. Our Bible verse says whatever's terrible, whatever's awful, whatever is the absolute possible worst scenario, we focus on these things. And our life is messed up, not because of the reality we're in, but because of the mindset we have. And so we have to take a step back and we have to ask ourselves, look, I can't control anything, but I can learn to control my thoughts. And Paul goes on and he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Then the God of peace will be with you. Some of you guys feel like God is far away. And the reality is God is not far away, but your thoughts are just off kilter. Your thoughts have gone negative. Your thoughts have gone bitter. Many of you have lost your minds. I know I watch your rants on Instagram and Facebook. And somehow you feel like you're contributing to the world by spewing out all the mess that's in your mind. And literally, there's a vacuum in our culture, and there's a vacuum in our nation, and there's a vacuum in our church of positive thoughts. We actually make fun of people that are overly positive. We put them down. We silence them. Listen to what he says. He says, watch what you've learned from me. Remember what you heard. Remember what you received. He says, practice these things. So here's what I want to challenge you today. Write this down. I want to challenge you to acknowledge the power of my thoughts. Not my thoughts, your thoughts, our thoughts. I want you to think about this. I love it when people say this, Pastor Matt, I'm sending you my thoughts. Okay, wait for it. Right now, I'm gonna send you my thoughts. Are you ready? Here it comes. You feeling me? You see, my thoughts can do nothing for you, but my thoughts are everything for me. My thoughts can do nothing for anyone else, but they can make or break my life. They impact me. They can lift me up or they can tear me down. My thoughts can literally be wonderful, beautiful, amazing things, or they can be destructive to who I am. Oftentimes, it is not someone else's voice that's in your head. It's your own voice that's in your head. And they're negative, brutal, mean, destructive thoughts. And we need to learn to acknowledge, man, hey, what I'm thinking is going to become a real thing if I'm not careful. Here's what the book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 23:7. Now, this is the King James Version, right? I'm going to preach to you, okay? This is the old version, and so here's what it says. For man, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I want you to know that it has been scientifically proven that thoughts in the brain become real things. Real things. So listen to me. If you have negative thoughts that you constantly surrender to, you're going to become a negative person. If you constantly entertain not nice thoughts, you're going to become a not nice person. The Bible said it thousands of years ago. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. You see, what occurs in here ultimately becomes reality out here. And when you see a senior citizen that's negative, bitter, awful, mean, you need to know at some point in time in their life, they surrendered to the power of negative thoughts. And those things literally transformed them and changed them into the awful person that is before you. You see, not everybody that ages is cute. Not everybody that ages is nice. Sometimes people get worse. There's a great book that Tammy and we listened to this year. It's called Switch on Your Brain. Like, you're like, I thought my brain was on. Well, apparently not everybody's brain is on. And if you have kids, you're like amening right now. You're like, yeah, no, their brain ain't on. You got to switch on your brain. You got to turn it on. And Dr. Carol Ann Leaf, she's a Christian. She's a Christian brain doctor. And here's what she says. She says, thoughts aren't these magical things that float out in space. They're actually real biochemical things that are in our brains, and they occupy, wait for it, real space. Real space. You only got so much space in your head, and you have to choose what you store in that space. And what she says is when we give in to negativity, when we give in to bitterness, when we give in to rage, when we give in to malice, when we give in to slander, when we give in to these things, we're storing that in our brain. And ultimately, over time, the only thing there's room for in our brains is negativity, and it wrecks us. It ruins us. And so some of you are saying, you know, I'm on my 8th marriage. And you say, I don't know what's wrong with women. Maybe the problem's not women. Maybe the problem is what you've stored up in your brain. Some of you ladies, there's no good men out there. There's no good men. I love it when ladies tell me, I say, well, I'm a man. They say, you're not a man, you're a pastor, which is so emasculating. But that's what they say. You say, there's no good men out there. Maybe it's not what's out there that's the problem. It's what's in here and what you're storing in your head. The voices, the memories, those things become realities, not just from the past, but towards your future. And you got to elevate that. So I want to challenge you, if you got, you know, a spare 12 hours, that's how long it takes to listen to the book, listen to Switch on Your Brain. It's the key, she says, to peak happiness, thinking, and health. Like, you want a better life? You want to change your life? The number one way to do that is to change your thoughts. So think about it. Thoughts are free. Thoughts are free. You get to think whatever you want to think. There's this verse in the Bible that scares me to death. It says Jesus could read their thoughts. Isn't that scary? Aren't you glad people can't read your thoughts? Sometimes my wife will ask me, what you thinking? And it's like the worst thought I've had all day. I'm like, I lie. Nothing. Nothing. Sometimes it's random. Sometimes it's bizarre. Sometimes it's evil. It's just evil. And you're just like, oh my gosh, where did that thought come from? How did that happen? And you see, thoughts are things that we give permission to occupy our brains. You're in control of your mind. You're in control of your thoughts. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:23. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Some of you think you're woke and you're actually asleep and you're in a bad dream. It's a nightmare. And you've given yourself over to evil thoughts. And we see this every day with people going on rants, people spewing hatred, people spewing just ugliness. For everyone to see, they're giving us permission to see what's in their mind. And what they're telling us is their eyes have grown dark, and the light they think they have is actually darkness. Here's the good news. If I let Jesus change my thinking, he'll change my life. He'll change my life. And that's what you need, is you need to give God permission to change your thinking. And you say, well, that's not how I was raised. That's why the Bible says we have to be raised again to life. It doesn't matter what your father or lack of father said. It's what your Father in heaven says. Jesus wants to teach you to think a new way, a new way. The Greek word for repentance is metanoeo. And what it means is a complete change of how one thinks, perceives, and acts in the world. That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to be changed. It's not about getting wet in a baptismal pool. It's about being woke to the reality of God's truth in your life. I got to let Jesus change my thinking, and he will change my life. You see, Romans 12:2, it's either real or it's not. And you have to make that decision. You have to make the decision of whether or not God's word is God's word. You have to make the decision of whether or not God's word is true. And you have to make the decision of whether or not God's word can change your life. I believe that it is God's word. I believe that it is true. And I can tell you it has changed my life. But that's your decision. That's your decision. Romans 12:2, a very real verse written in a very real time. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Here's what Paul's saying. I don't care how you were raised. I don't care, Paul says, what you've seen. He says, I want to show you something else. I want you to see something new. I want you to see something different. I don't want you to stay where you are. I want you to go where you're called. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. By changing what? The way you think. The way God changes you is he changes the way you think. Now, here's the problem. Transformation's not easy. You don't believe me? Go on a diet. Go on a diet. Try to quit smoking. Try to stop cussing. Try to stop ranting. Transformation is rare, but it is real. But it's hard. We have to quit looking at what everybody else is doing. You see, some of you, you're living your life concerned about what everybody else thinks. I want to challenge you to live your life this way. Live your life trying to think how God wants you to think. What does he want you to think? How does he want you to perceive the world? How does he want you to live? 1 Corinthians 15:34 says this, think carefully. Some of you don't think at all. You just act. Think carefully about what's right. About what's right. Some of us don't think at all. We just react. We react with emotion. We react with passion. We react with anger. Let me just tell you something I've learned. My initial reaction is almost always wrong. Wouldn't that be nice if every time I was pricked, every time I was poked, every time I was offended, Jesus just showed up?
Welcome.
That's not who shows up. That's not what comes out. My initial reaction is usually not my new self that I'm called to be. My initial reaction is usually my old self that I still struggle leaving behind. Think carefully about what's right, and stop sinning. Why would the Bible tell you that? Remember, Corinthians is written to Christians. Okay, Jesus isn't standing on a street corner yelling at sinners. This is a letter to a church, Christians gathered together who've already said, I follow. He says, think about what's right. Think carefully about what's right and stop sinning. Stop sinning. Now, some of you, I love people, especially men. Everybody just needs to be more reasonable. Everybody's too emotional. You know, they've actually proven scientifically, dudes. Listen to me, bros. They've proven feelings and thinkings are different, but they're not separate. Every single thought you have in your mind is tied to an emotion, whether you recognize it or not, whether you believe it or not. We are not robots, even though some of you are like, no, my husband is. No, he's not. He may not express emotion, but his thought process is delivered by emotion. We have to remember that. We have to remember that. Feelings and thinking are different, but they're not separate. So here's the second thing I want to challenge you to do. How to elevate your thinking. I want you to make positive thinking a spiritual goal. There are some of you, Pastor, you've gone new age. You just need to preach God's word. You just need to get in the text, get us all bitter, upset, and make us feel terrible, and we'll send a tithe check. Let me tell you something. You need to make positive thinking a spiritual goal because the Bible says you need to make positive thinking a spiritual goal. Show me the text in the Bible that says, sit in sorrow and self-pity, become negative, hate everything, judge everyone, be critical, be negative. That verse isn't in the Bible. But this verse is, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts. Oh, wait for it. Attitudes, and put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Truly. You see, you got to make positive thinking, listen to me, a spiritual goal. Some of you call yourselves mature Christian. You call yourself a mature Christian, but your thoughts deny that truth. You haven't yet taken your mind captive. You haven't yet taken every thought captive. You immediately surrender your faith. You immediately surrender your emotions the second you're offended, the second you're upset, the second you feel like you've been mistreated. Because you haven't made positive thinking a spiritual goal. Some of you run around all day long. We're doomed. The Bible says you're not doomed. The Bible says you're saved. Some of you run around. We're never going to make it. The Bible says you're going to make it. Why? Because Jesus Christ made it for you. Some of you say, we're going to lose. We always lose. The Bible says we won. We've already won. We just haven't experienced it yet. We have to make positive thinking a spiritual goal. I have to make the way I think conform to the spiritual life I've been called. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts. There it is, right there for you. Positive thinking should be a spiritual goal. You see, mental work can be a spiritual exercise. And then put on your new nature. Some of you have been raised in homes where everybody yells, everybody screams, everything blows up. You're not called to live like that family. You're called to live like the family Jesus is building. You're called to live like the family that Jesus is gathering. We're called, I love this word, to be truly righteous and holy. Not like a lot of these fake hypocrites running around. You see, just because they wear a religious uniform doesn't mean they follow Jesus. Just because they wear a cross doesn't mean they've died to themselves on the cross. Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true. Whatever is true. Whatever. What are you supposed to think about? You're like, Pastor, I don't know what to think about. Whatever is true. Whatever is honorable. Whatever is just. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is commendable. If there is anything of excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You see, for some of you, all you can see is the bird poop. And you can't hear the birds sing because you've developed a habit of looking down and you've failed to listen to the upward calling of Christ to look up, to look up. Learn to listen to the birds sing and don't just focus on the birds poop. What are you doing? If there's anything, Paul says, you pick. It's free. It's your choice. You choose. Find something good in this world. Find something worth living for. Find something worth striving for. The reason many of you have given up hope is because you've failed to make it a practice of looking for good things. For good things. If there's anything excellent, look at those things. Look at those things. Some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, we haven't met. The governor's terrible. The world is awful. It's all coming to an end, right? Bill Gates is the Antichrist. Let me tell you something. Sandals Church has had more spiritual impact by us not meeting together than we have by us meeting together for the last 24 years. For the last 24 years, we haven't reached 1 million people. Not even 1 million. In the last 10 weeks, we've reached 3 million. We've seen thousands of decisions for Christ, people coming back to church in droves, people listening for the first time about God. The church has never been closed. You just can't sit in your seat. The only thing that's been disrupted in the church is what you're comfortable with, not the movement of God. Look around, look what's happening. There's a spiritual movement. Yeah, there's chaos in our world. There's darkness in our world. And let me tell you why. For every single one of you that wants to rant and rave on your Instagram, Satan always moves when Christ is moving. Always. That's all he can do. All he can do is disrupt. All he can do is move in evil and sin. All of that stuff is happening. Why is that happening now? Because the Spirit of God is unleashing in the church. And some of you have been sucked into the movement of the devil, and you've forgotten the movement of God. God is doing good things, great things, amazing things, things that we've never seen, at least in my lifetime. Luke 11:35. Make sure the light you think you have is not actually darkness. Can I just ask you a question? Especially all my young friends that are so woke. What if you're still asleep? What if you're still asleep? One of my favorite movies of all time. Don't judge me. I'm a product of the 90s. It's The Matrix. Some of you have never even heard of the movie The Matrix. The Matrix was a life-changing movie. My favorite scene in that movie is when the lead character, Neo, says, "Why are my eyes so tired?" And Morpheus looks at the young man who thought he was so awake his entire life, and he says, "Because you've never used them before." Make sure the life you are living is the life you've been called to. Make sure the eyes that you are using actually see the truth. Now, here's the truth, man. We all have long lists of negative things. Man, if I asked you, how have you been slighted? How have you been mistreated? Because of your gender? Because of your race? Because of your position or lack of power? I'm sure you could come up with all kinds of ways and times you've been hurt, wounded, slighted, mistreated, or disrespected. Most of us got books. Books. I got books of ways I feel mistreated, ways I feel abused, ways, you know, I feel picked on. Things that have happened to me because of the color of my skin and for no other reason. But you know what? The Bible doesn't call us to make a list of the negative things that have happened in our life. The Bible actually calls us to make a list of the positive things. You see, nobody has to force you to remember the ugly. But Jesus wants to teach you how to remember the beautiful. So how do I elevate my thinking? Number three, write this down. Make a list of the good things in my life. What are the good things in your life? What are the good things that are happening to you? Philippians 4:8. If there's any excellence, anything, you choose, you pick. If there's anything worthy of praise, I want you to circle this word in your notes. Think about these things. Think about it. Think about it. Now the Greek word here, in English it says think, but the Greek word is logizomai, and it means, it can be translated three ways. Logizomai can be translated to think as I've given it to you, which is an accurate translation. It can also be translated to calculate, or it can be translated to count. So here's the biblical command. If there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, you are to calculate those things into your life. You're to count them in your life. You're to think about them and meditate on them on a regular basis. And why is that? Because it's way easier to focus on what goes wrong than what's gone right. 100 years ago, in 1897, there was a guy by the name of Johnson Oatman. And he wrote a song. It's an old hymn. When I was in church growing up as a kid, we used to open books and sing songs in these books. And this was one of those songs. And the song that Johnson Oatman wrote was Count Your Many Blessings. When Johnson Oatman wrote this book, the average American didn't live as long as I am now. Most people in America died before they reached the ripe old age of Pastor Matt. Most people were poor. The 1890s were one of the worst economic times in our country's history. Our country was wrestling with the fact that it was becoming a superpower and it did not know how to grasp with this. Our country was still legally mistreating African Americans and treating them as less than citizens. Women did not have the right to vote. And in this time of secular unfairness and spiritual depravity, and when racism and sexism were far more rampant than they are today, this guy penned these words. Listen to these words. He said, when upon life's billows, you're like, what's the billow? It's clouds of smoke. Like when everything's burning down, that's how the song starts. When upon life's billows, you are tempest tossed. When life is messing you up from the floor up, you know, right? When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Listen to what he says. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And the song says, and you'll be surprised what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done. You know why we get negative? We get negative because we forget when God was positive. We forget what God did. That's why so many of the verses in your Bible say, remember, remember, remember. The reason when we gather together to take the Lord's Supper, and I know some of you are like, see, we can't even do that. The governor won't even let us remember the death of Christ. Okay, Captain Negative, chill out. Listen, the reason we remember the death of Christ is so that we can remember what he did, so that we can be inspired to do what he's called us to do. We remember he was suffered. We remember he was mistreated. We remember what he went through. We remember that so that we can sustain ourselves in the moments when we can't think of those things. Next verse is, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Yeah, that's Tuesdays. That's Tuesdays, right? We're all burdened. We all struggle. We all wrestle. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy that you are called to bear, right? You're like, I don't want to talk about the cross. Jesus cares. I want to talk about my cross, my suffering, my issues. Okay, here's what the song says. Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Oh, man, I can't believe this song was written before Instagram. When you look at others with their lands of gold, think of what Christ has promised you, his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Listen to this. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, Do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your blessings. Angels will attend and help and comfort and give you that to your journey's end. Colossians 3:2 says this. Think about the things of heaven. Think about the things of heaven. A lot of us are overwhelmed with what's happening here. And I'm not saying we shouldn't give attention to that. But you want to know when I get discouraged? When I get overwhelmed, when I look at the problems that are in our community and we're not in the news, when I look at the interactions of the people just in our church, like you think there's nasty people out there? We got nasty people in here. I get overwhelmed when my focus is only here and now. Paul says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, because if you just look here, you're not going to make it there. You're not going to make it. You're going to give up. You're going to give in. One of the sad stories I read this week is the lead singer of Hawk Nelson has come out and said he doesn't believe in God. Here's what I'm going to think happened. I'm going to choose to believe because I don't know. I haven't studied. But at some point in time, he became more focused on his fame and the world around him than the God in heaven he started out singing about. And he lost his way. He lost his way. I don't want you to lose your way. And look, we can't change celebrities who come to Christ, deny Christ. We can't change people who at one time loved Jesus and then become atheists. You can't change their thinking. Today's message is about elevating your thinking. Because on the day of judgment, you're not going to be held accountable for anyone else but yourself and the choices you made with the gifts God gave you. So think about heaven. Next, Philippians 1:3. Every time I think about you, Paul starts this letter from prison to the church at Philippi. He says, I give thanks to my God. I know a lot of you, you've been hurt by people. You've been disrespected. Some of you have been treated in racist ways, sexist ways. You've been demeaned, ignored, sidestepped, demoted. I'm not diminishing any of those things, but I don't have to tell you to make a list of that. I want you to make a list of the people who've believed in you, invested in you, come alongside you, inspired you, prayed over you, hung in there with you. The Apostle Paul, while he sits in prison, he says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. You know what keeps me going? What keeps me going is all the people in our church. Some of you I've never even met. We've never even shook hands. But you love Sandals Church like I do. You love Jesus like I do. And you have given so faithfully. There's no Sandals Church without you. I want you to know, every time I think of you, with everything that's going on, all the struggles, all the stress that Sandals Churches face, right? There's 11 of us, 11 campuses. We all have struggles. We all have trials. Man, it's easy for me to get overwhelmed with everything that's not going right. One of the things that keeps me going is all of you who so faithfully give. Look, I mean, many of you haven't even been able to serve for months now. You haven't been able to come to church for months. And every single week you so faithfully give. I just want you to know, every time I think of you, I am blown away. Because there's no ministry without you. So I want you to think about the people. Who are the people that have invested in you? Who are the people that have blessed you? Who are the people that love you? Who are the people, not that have hurt you, but that have helped you? It's really easy to get wrapped up, especially in this age of just inflaming. You know why you haven't seen me on the news lately? Because I figured it out. The news media doesn't care at all about churches opening. All they wanted me to do was pick a fight with our governor. Does it? I don't want to pick a fight with our governor. I just want to be able to worship God. That's all I want. That's all I want. And I want you to know, I think it's making a difference. I think the reason the governor is loosening his requirements, we've actually heard this week from his office. His office actually said, we can see that you're not against us. He said, we can see you're not out to terrorize us or to come after us politically. And they've said, we appreciate that and we want to work with you, even though they realize they've over or they've ignored or, you know, looked past large churches. I want you to know, man, attitude matters. Think about people that have blessed you. Think about being positive. And here's why. Gratitude elevates my attitude. You know, when I'm all upset, when I'm all angry, all I have to look at is where's my gratitude? When I get critical of my wife, Tammy, it's because I'm not grateful for all the things she does. When I'm critical of my kids, it's because I'm not grateful for the things they do. When I'm critical of the people of our church, it's because I fail to be grateful for the people that give, for the people that serve. It's so easy for me to be focused on the one knucklehead and forget all of the wonderful, beautiful people that are serving, helping, and contributing. Isn't it amazing how just one person can ruin your day when everybody else has been kind, everyone else has been compassionate, and so many people have been concerned about you? Gratitude elevates my attitude. Next, how to elevate my thinking. You're not gonna like this, but you know what? I do it. My kids make fun of me. My wife makes fun of me. But you gotta practice positive self-talk. I'm just gonna be honest with you. Every time I come out here to preach, and it's even worse, people say, what's it like talking to a camera? I say, go talk to a Darth Vader mask. That's what talking to a camera is. You can't tell if Darth Vader's happy, sad, thinks you're funny, or nothing. That's what a camera is. And I just talk to it. And so I have these nightmares, right? I have these nightmares where it's terrible, it's awful. Everybody leaves the church. And so I have to tell myself, you're funny. People like you. It's going to be okay. And I have to do all of this stuff. My wife's like, are you talking to yourself again? Yes. Yes. You got to practice positive self-talk. Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. You know who I'm the most foul and the most abusive to? Myself. I'm the most critical of myself. I'm the most abusive to myself. I use the worst words towards myself. Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Healthy for the body. One of the one ways you can stay healthy during this crisis is monitoring your stress level. And your stress level is directly correlated to what you're saying in your brain. Right? If everything's falling apart, your stress level goes up. But if you're speaking positive things to yourself, your stress level goes down. Proverbs 15:23, how good is a timely word? Has anybody ever said something to you? Maybe, ladies, you went to work and you're feeling like your outfit doesn't look right, or you were especially critical of yourself in the mirror, and somebody says, oh, you look great today. You look great today. Wow, that dress really just makes your eyes pop. Or somebody said to you, man, I just really appreciated how you did that, or how you said it. Isn't it amazing how a timely word can take your worst day and make it one of your best moments? One of the things you need to learn to do is to say those things to yourself. What I tend to do is focus on everything I said wrong. Like, one of the worst things about this 10 weeks is I normally preach to you during this. I preach, you know, a couple days before, and then I sit and watch it with you, and it is like torture watching myself. Like, this is what I see when I'm preaching. That's what I look like. I'm just like all over the place. Somebody like, that's what I see too. Okay, well, don't email that to me. How good is a timely word? How good is a timely word? A lot of times people apologize when they compliment my sermons. I know you probably hear this a lot. Or it's the chocolate-covered turd. Don't let this go to your head, but today wasn't bad. Well, thank you. Just learn to compliment people. Just learn to say nice things, and learn to say nice things to yourself. Last point, how to elevate my thinking. You got to find a positive spiritual role model. I got news for you. Some of these spiritual role models out there are nothing but negative and nasty. And not everybody is interested, who calls himself a Christian pastor, is interested in Jesus. A lot of them are just interested in their platform going up. And they will use you to get to where they want to go. Find a positive spiritual role model. Somebody that lifts you up. Somebody that encourages you. Somebody that speaks to you. Somebody that you connect with. I want to encourage you. One of the things we're going to do this week is we're opening up small groups again. That's one of the things we can think of. Whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is true. Hey, we can meet in community groups again. We can get back together again. Man, Tammy and I went to the doctor's, and the doctor goes to our church, and his wife is a nurse that worked for him. And I told my wife, it was like a date night. Like, we got to talk to other people. It was so great. We were so brave, momentarily pulled our masks down. Hey, how's it going? Are you good, right? It was wonderful. After the doctor saw us, we stayed and hung out and talked. It was so great. It was so good. Listen to me. You need to find a small group that's encouraging you, that's lifting you up, that's inspiring you, challenging you to pray, challenging you to be a part of a church, saying, man, you can do this. I see your giftedness. You need those people in your life that will lift you up. Paul closes with this, Philippians 4:9. Whatever you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, listen to what he says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Here's our struggle. Most of us have been raised by people that we shouldn't model. We've been taught to practice things that are not healthy, and we've seen things that are not good. We need people to show us how to do it. And that's one of the things I try to do. One of the reasons I try not to rant. I try not to go off. You know, I told my wife after the press conference 2 weeks ago, I was like, you know, I pick on Trump when he loses his mind. And the first words out of my mouth when I came home, I told Tammy, I was just like Trump. I was so sad because it's easy to get fired up. It's hard to be like Jesus. And I want to be that role model. When you see me on TV, when you see me on the news, I want you to say, that's my pastor, and I'm proud. It doesn't mean we don't speak to injustice. It doesn't mean we don't speak to untruth. It means we don't look like idiots when we do it. That's what it means. And Paul says, whatever you've learned, whatever you've received, whatever you've heard, whatever you've seen in me, circle this word, practice. You see, we have to practice being positive. We have to practice being Christ-like. We don't have to practice being negative, and we don't have to practice being sinful. Those things come naturally. Positive things come supernaturally. And let me say this. If you're not in a positive environment, I want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. I'm going to close in prayer for you. You see, some of us are blessed with positive families, positive friends, and positive environments. Not everybody gets to get raised in that. I want you to know You are not what your friends and family say you are. You are what Jesus says you are. And you need more now more than ever to get in a community group of people that love you and value you and see the good that you bring and the blessing that you are. If you're in a negative environment right now, you have to find mentors that can help you create one. You're not going to do this on yourself. You can't do this alone. We need people to help us be positive. We need people to help us elevate our thinking. We cannot create the world around us, but listen to me, we are responsible for the world within us. And say it again, we cannot change the world around us, but we are responsible for the world within us. And if we ever want to make a difference out there, we have to start making a difference in here. And Jesus, right now, no matter where you are, he wants to come into your heart. He wants to come into your life. He wants to renew your mind. He wants to change you. He doesn't just want to save your soul. He wants to save your life. And he can do that wherever you are. All you need to do is call out to him. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, listen to these words, will be saved. So let's close in prayer and let me pray over everybody right now that's struggling, that's battling bitterness, that's battling anger, that's wrestling with rage, that feels like they're not in an environment where people can lift them up and encourage them and come alongside of them to elevate their thinking. I want to pray for those who need to change their environment, and that starts right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person who feels like they're in a toxic, non-supportive, negative, critical environment. God, and I know they may not be able to change where they live. They may not be able to change where they are, but I know right now, Jesus Christ, you can change how they think. And Lord, if they're ever going to change how they live, they have to change how they think. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to renew thoughts and attitudes. We ask you to move in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. Help us to know we're loved. Help us to know we're beautiful. Help us to know we were worthy of your love. God, and begin renewing our thoughts and attitudes, and help us to focus on whatever is good, honorable, and true. If there is anything of excellence in our life, let us focus on it this week. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
As we learn to elevate our thinking and focus on Jesus, we realize that he's the one who's truly worthy of our attention and of our affection. That there's nothing in this world, there's nothing that the world could ever offer us that can ever satisfy us the way that Jesus can and the way that Jesus does. We're going to teach you a new song, and there's a line in the song that says, there's nothing better than you. And when we get to that line, man, I want you to remember who God is and what he's done, and I want you to sing that out with us.
I searched the world, treasures I fade are never enough, that you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love.
Come on, here we go. There's nothing.
These words to be true today. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for disaster, to give you hope and a future. This is our God, and this is who we can place our hope in. So I invite you to sing this out with us. Come on, you take.
Sing this out, come on.
'Cause you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good.
Yes.
You turn it for good.
Again, you take.
'Cause you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
You take it.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil. Turn it for good.
We believe
you turn it for good.
One more time, let's sing that. Come on, you take.
Victory in your life. I know God wants to give you victory. Maybe it's victory in your marriage, your finances, your kids, your relationships. But we only get that victory by handing the battle over to God. And I want you to know you don't have to do it on your own. I know for Shannon and I, our community group is that place where we go to receive prayer, love, encouragement, challenge, and to celebrate with us the great things in life. And so I just want to challenge you this week, whatever that battle is, whatever that victory is that you need, take the time to let your community group know so that they can pray and walk with you. If you're not yet in a community group, you can go to sandalschurch.com/groups and check out all the amazing groups we have. As we wrap up our service today, don't tune out just yet. We've got a special message from Pastor Matt Brown for you that you need to hear. We love you all. We can't wait to see you next weekend.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the message today. I want to introduce you one of my new friends and one of our new pastors at Sandals Church. Jeff is the pastor of our online campuses, all 3 million new guys of you. We just love all of you so much. But Jeff Y., welcome to Sandals Church.
Hey, Matt. Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm excited to be hanging out with you. And I have a couple questions for you, if that's okay,
yeah, yeah,
Matt.
Sure, yeah.
Other than that's an awesome sweatshirt.
Yes, that my wife made, everybody.
It looks good. It looks good. Thanks so much, Sister Tammy. Community groups. So obviously community groups is a big deal here.
Yeah.
Tell me why community groups is such a big deal at Sandals Church.
Yeah. So if you're new to Sandals Church, hopefully my messages inspire.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
They do. They do.
Not ignite, right?
They do, right.
But inspire. So sermons inspire you.
Okay.
But people change you.
Amen.
So when Jesus, right, he doesn't just preach sermons. He collects 12 people together and he says, I want you to walk with me, live with me 3 years.
Right.
And 11 of those made it. Right,
right, right. Exactly.
One of them didn't
make
it.
Right, exactly.
And so that's the thing is, if you want to change your life, you have to change your community.
Okay.
And you have to be willing to change the people that you hang out with. And the best way to get the biggest impact out of the message is to say, Jeff, what'd you get out of it?
Okay. Yeah.
Because I get something out of it when I preach it, but I also get something out of it when I watch it.
Yeah.
And then I get something out of it when we talk about it.
Absolutely.
And that's just been amazing what God does, the Holy Spirit, through you when I hear about that. And it's just so important. I know it's scary.
Yeah, right.
Intimidating.
And that's actually what I was going to talk about. You know, one of the things I say is that the fact that, you know, Jesus was in a community group.
Right.
So pretty sure you should be in one too.
Yeah.
If he was in one, you should probably get in one. But some people might be scared or apprehensive of joining a community group. So what would you say to that individual who's like, I don't know, I don't want all my stuff out there for people and folk to, you know, to discover?
I think that's one fear. And the other fear is your lack of knowledge about the Bible is going to come out. It's why they're not Bible studies.
Yeah, right.
We're not looking for Bible experts to make you feel bad about what you don't know, what we're asking you to do. And it's why we talk about the message.
Okay.
So everybody has the same information.
Right.
Everybody's heard the same word. And we want you to discuss that. And as you're comfortable, right? You only have to go as deep as you're comfortable.
Yeah.
Some people, right, they dive right in. They say everything that's ever happened to them.
Yeah.
And others of us, right, it takes some time. We've been hurt. We've shared some things and maybe that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you go slow. You don't have to tell everybody everything, but I say you have to tell somebody something.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things I love about community groups here at Sandals Church, it's a big church, it's a massive church. It's like a super mega church.
Yeah.
This is one of these ways where you can get smaller.
Yeah.
And so real faith, you go further in your faith, I think, in community groups. You know, I've been in community groups, small groups, D groups, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
And one of the things I've discovered in being in a community group, it's like a second family.
Right.
It's a second family who knows you inside and out and loves you. And it's a place for healing. And it's also a place where you fellowship together. I've gone camping trips, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because they took me camping one time. And that was a little scary, Pastor Matt. But I did it.
I'm not a camper.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we can not camp together. And but I went camping with my community group. We went to the beach. We traveled. We went on vacation. We served in missions in community groups. And so I think one of the things for individuals who are looking like, well, why should I be involved in a community group? Is because I just really believe that it actually becomes a community.
Yeah.
And it's what we actually desire. And so as the senior lead pastor of Sandals Church, what is, if you think about God, and if you think about what his word says, how do you think the word of God coincides with being a part of a community group?
Yeah, so as Christians, right, we believe in one God who exists in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is an eternal community.
Yeah.
So, right, the Son loves the Father, the Father loves the Son, the Spirit does. and leads us to the Son, you know, leads us to obedience to the Father. That's who God is. God is this eternal community of love, respect, just truth and honor. And that's what God's calling us to do. So if God is a community, you know, a commune of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we need to do that.
Right.
And it's hard to understand a communal God all by yourself.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's what I would encourage you to do. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, right, is going to speak through others to you. And I'm in a community group.
Yep.
My wife and I have been in community groups for 24 years. If I'm the pastor here 24 more years, we will be in a community group.
And you'll be pretty old.
Yeah, I will be. And I am not the leader of my group.
Right.
I'm a participant in my group.
That's good.
So I submit to the group. I'm a part of the group, and it's my family, and we come together, and it's a blessing.
Yeah, awesome. Well, one thing I just want to kind of end off saying, if you're not part of a community group, now you've been probably coming to Sandals physically, maybe not right now. And actually, I would probably say to that point, for those individuals who were a part of community groups when we started this whole COVID crisis, man, those are the individuals that you started connecting with when we weren't gathered. And you felt like, man, I'm actually connected to my church even more so because they had a community group. And if you didn't have one, those are the ones I would think that are kind of like left out, like, oh, what's really happening? I don't really have connection, you know? And you're trying to like, I want to Zoom with someone, but you don't have anybody to Zoom with because you weren't connected to someone before this even happened. And so for those of you who are thinking like, man, I don't know, how can I do this? We'd really love for you to join a community group. And if you're a part of a church, if you're part of this physical expression of community, you can't really know what community, you can't really know what this life of discipleship and following Christ looks like. You won't know it until you're in a community group. And so for those of you who are not in one, we're praying, we're begging you, get in a community group. And we promise, right? We promise you won't be sad that you did.
Yeah, amen.